Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus saith the Lord God. In that day when my people Israel dwelleth safely, shalt thou not know it? And thou shalt come forth out of the place of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. Thou shalt come against my people Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days. And I'll bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Thus saith the Lord God. Art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them? And it shall come to pass at that time, when Gog shall come out against the land of Israel, saith the Lord, that my fury shall come up in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel. Listen to this. So that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth, and all the men that are upon the face of the earth, shall shake at my presence. That's another thing, Oak, that men will do in the presence of God. Amen. Shall shake at my presence. Listen to this. And the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. I'm talking about the ultimate terrorism. The ultimate terrorism. Every wall. A few years ago, this month, I was driving up the road to Brother Callicott's meeting, and I heard the report over the radio that the federal building in Oklahoma City had been bombed. The whole front wall was blown off the federal building. But folks, that terrible loss of life at the exploding of that building and that terrible bomb was not even to be considered up to side this one, when every wall shall fall to the ground. You hear me? I'm talking about the ultimate terrorism tonight. Listen to this. Even the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field, all creeping things that creep on the earth. It is a fact that many times men who are out there in the forest, when a forest fire was sweeping across the forest and they had found a refuge somewhere, that trembling deer have run right up between the legs of men and took refuge right under their arms and lost their fear of man even in the face of that horrible flame. They trembled. Amen. You talk about a battle. This battle of Armageddon is the worst one of all. You talk about the mother of all battles. My friend, tonight, This last one is the grand finale of God Almighty. Amen. I'm talking about ultimatarism. Amen. When all the creatures shake and tremble, even the fish tremble. Amen. Even the animals tremble. All men tremble. Mountains tremble. Why? Because they're caught in the middle of terrorism at its ultimate. A soldier, upon giving a report of a battle in Vietnam, told how that they were ambushed in the middle of a rice paddy, and how that the Viet Cong had killed three of his buddies and wounded him, and they lay in a pile in their stand that they had taken in the middle of that rice paddy. And the other guys had fell back and was trying to defend themselves. How that the Viet Cong had brought a machine gun and set it right up on top of all the bodies. And this soldier was playing dead, only wounded, seeing the futility of being able to escape. He was already wounded with the rest of them. And so he was laying there playing dead as that Viet Cong soldier set up a machine gun right on top of the pile of bodies. And he said, even as that Viet Cong soldier fired his automatic rifle, he was trembling. He could feel him trembling in the battle. Amen. But folks, this great last battle that's going to be fought very soon, the ultimate battle of all time, will strike the ultimate terror in the souls of men that are caught in it. Saddam called the Battle of Desert Storm the mother of all battles, he said, is about to begin. But what he did not anticipate was that America, for a few months, would throw down their denominational barriers, and all over this country, they would unite in prayer. And because America united in prayer in the Battle of Desert Storm, God put such a terror on the soldiers of Saddam Hussein, amen, that they all carried a little white flag inside their uniform, because they were getting ready to surrender. Amen. Woo! When they finally flushed some of them out of their holes in the desert, amen, they came out waving their white flags and nobody knew where they got them. Amen. It was against the law to have anything white in your uniform. Amen. He knew that some of his men was having second thoughts about his mother of all battles. And so it was a crime, capital crime, to have anything white in your gear. But they concealed their flag of surrender. Why? God had put the terror of the Allies upon Saddam Hussein's soldiers. It wasn't much to it. Even the crack brigade, you know, his crack guard soldiers, the best he had, trembled and fell back before the onslaught of the Allies and America and Britain in the Desert Storm. Amen. Now then, Arabia and Kuwait, the same ones that we went over there and risked our lives and spent billions of dollars to save, are the ones that's putting it to us in this oil crisis tonight. Amen. That's thankfulness now. But I'll tell you something, there's another battle getting ready to start. And there's a whole bunch of them that's itching to join in with Gog in that last day, because Gog has one thing in mind, and that's getting rid of Abraham's kids once and for all. Getting rid of Israel once and for all. Amen. Hey! The ultimate terror will be the last battle. It's going to happen. But even before that, the two witnesses. Amen. I noticed that Mr. LeHay, amen, in his novel about that time, put the two witnesses in the first part of the tribulation. My opinion has always been that they were Enoch and Elijah, and that they were in the last part. If you put them in the first part, you put them in the revival of the 144,000. Amen. They're scarcely needed there. It's after the 144,000 are raptured in the middle of the tribulation, and God has run plumb out of preachers, and the saints have been martyred by the great whore. Amen. And God's needing preachers, that God sends Enoch and Elijah back. They have power to shut heaven, that it rain not. They have power to call fire down out of heaven. They're able by their miracles to gain for Israel at least limited access back to the new temple that they have built, amen, in Jerusalem, right under the nose of the Antichrist. Because, brother, they're too hot to handle. And even the devil can't kill them till God gets through with them. Amen. That was another one of their novels. They also put the two witnesses in the first part of the tribulation. Just don't fit. Praise God. Amen. But even after God runs out of preachers, and he only has two prophesying in Jerusalem, calling fire down from heaven, shutting up heaven that it rain not. Can you imagine what a 3-year drought would do to Ohio? Amen. Can you imagine what a 3-year drought did in Elijah's day to Palestine, when for 3 years they didn't even have a dewdrop? God refreshes nature every night with his dew. Even though it don't rain, he gives plant life a drink every night and keeps it alive. Amen. But the ultimate terror is that in the last days, those that miss the rapture of the church, amen, the escape of his bride, his beloved, his blood washed, are going to be caught in ultimate terror. Why is God going to terrorize the world? Say, I don't believe in a God like that. You don't have any choice, brother. Amen. I don't believe in a God that's not a God of love 100%. You have no choice, neighbor. Amen. I mean, you will. You may not believe in it now, but you will before it's over. And you'll be glad to. Praise God. I mean, you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars if you miss the rapture. And then God is going to destroy all the armies of the world in one last battle. Amen. You say, I don't believe in a God like that. You may not, but you'll wish you had. Amen. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. Can you imagine that? That's a far cry from the modernist view of a goody-goody, do-gooder, lovey-lovey, dovey-dovey God. Amen. Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. Praise God. We know somewhat of the terror of the Lord, so therefore we persuade men. Proofs, reason, common sense, examples everywhere. The cross tells us of the terror of the Lord. The altar of death tells us of the terror of the Lord. The altar and its fire burning that animal head and all, amen, fat and all, burning that animal, amen. That animal was a substitutionary animal. We was the one that was supposed to be burning. But the animal took their place. The animal took the judgment. The animal shed its blood. The animal was burned in the fire. A burnt offering many times. Amen. And that spoke of the terror of hell and of death. Amen. Now the cross, the blood of Jesus being shed, and Him being roasted in the eastern sun. Amen. Until God's judgment fell on the earth and darkness veiled the sun, and the whole world knew that something cataclysmic had taken place. Amen. What was it? The Son of God bore our wrath. The Son of God took the terror. That's why He sweated blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. The terror rolled in mighty throes upon His soul. Terror darkened His night that night. And He cried, "Oh God, if Thou wilt, let this cup pass from me." What was wrong with Jesus when He sweated blood and agonized on that proverbial rock of agony underneath that proverbial old olive tree? My God, what was wrong with Jesus? He was bearing the terror of your death, the terror of your hell, the terror of your sins, the ultimate terror. Now the Son of God has shed His last drop of blood. He's walked in bloody tracks up Golgotha's brow and hang on a bloody cross. He has stained the shroud that they wrapped Him in the very spices to preserve His body and to add a pleasant aroma to death. Stained them with His blood. God's own Son. And now tonight, men in their rebellion are trampling the blood. That blood of God's Son. Men in their rebellion are trampling that cross. They're writing their books, denying their God, denying the efficacy of the blood, the power of the cross, and the fact of His death and even His resurrection. And men trample every day. 75% of our community will pass by the church on Sunday morning. And the rest of them will stay in on, with their hangover from the weekend partying, as they don't darken the doors of a church house. And judgment's getting ready to take place. If you think it was a terrible thing, the explosion in Oklahoma City, just wait till every wall falls. If you think it was a terrible thing, the earthquake in Japan, the earthquake, amen, in San Francisco, right during the World Series, amen, and COVID, Japan said it can't happen to us. Japan sent their specials over, said it can't happen to us. We build our buildings earthquake proof in just a couple of years. Amen. It took 20 seconds for one earthquake to destroy Kobe, Japan. Amen. 20 seconds. 20 seconds, the whole city was on fire. 20 seconds, terror reigned throughout the whole city. The city that seemed to be earthquake proof was now destroyed by an earthquake and burned by the leaking, the flames fueled by the gas leak. As the mains of the city broke. Amen. A boy and his father struggled with his mother to get him loose. The dad determined to stay as the fire rushed down the street where they were trying to pull her loose. Amen. She said, "Run, save your lives, don't stay with me." The dad refused to go. And finally, at the very last possible second, to save himself and his dad, with a prayer for forgiveness, he grabbed his dad and whisked him away to keep him from being burned in the flames of destruction that took place in just a few moments' time. 20 seconds. Amen. The ultimate terrorism has yet to take place. When there will not be a family on this globe that is not touched. There will not be a city on this globe that is not touched. Why does God send terror upon the world, the worst that it's ever known? Why? 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 I'd like to know. For the same reason that that deer run right under the arms of the people that he one time feared and ran away from. God wants you to run under the arms of God. Run for refuge to the ark of safety. And if God can scare men out of hell, he'll do it in the last of the last days. In that last and final battle, the terror, amen, of God will come upon men. My, my. Prayer is power tonight. Prayer changes things tonight. Prayer, as someone has already testified, maybe Brother Ray, amen, you're going to be better off if you live for God. You're going to live better if you're blessed. If you pray, hallelujah. Hey, tonight you don't want to get caught in the ultimate terror. I don't want to get caught. How would we get caught in such an ultimate and awful time? By neglect. The Bible said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Let's pray. Father, challenge our hearts tonight. Oh God, help us, Lord, to drop all of our opposition to God. Drop all of our strong reasonings against Christ. To drop all, Lord God, our opposition to the call of God and the power of God. Help us, Lord, while we've got life, while we've got breath, while we have such a wonderful opportunity to come to an altar of prayer. This time an altar of deliverance, because Christ has made the way and given us power over death. Lord, you've given us victory over the horrors of the last day. You've given us the promise and the hope of the escape of the redeemed. That hour shall not come upon us unawares, when even the fish tremble, even the fish teeth chatter, every animal they shake and tremble. Amen. They so lose their carnivorous nature, they will be prepared to go into the millennium with a changed nature. The lamb shall lay down by the lion, because the terror of the Lord has changed their very nature. Oh God, help us who are wild, oh Lord, and reckless and careless in our rebellion against God. Help our children in their wild, reckless rebellion to fall on their face and not be foolish and sell their soul for a mess of this world's pottage. Because it's going to get worse than a few kids shot in a schoolhouse. It's going to get worse than the terror of a few government buildings blown up by some terrorist that decided to spend all of his millions for explosives to get vengeance. Lord, this ain't a patching. This is not even a start to what it's going to be. Lord, help us to run for refuge now to the rock of ages before the fire starts, which in front of it is like the Garden of Eden, and behind it is like hell itself. Oh Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me tonight as we come around God's altar. to make the most of this hour of mercy, to make the most of this time of grace. Run to the tower. Run for refuge. Praise God. Come, my beloved. Come into thy chambers, he said. Shut thy doors about thee until mine indignation be overpast. Praise God.
Eternal life for you and me.
Glory to God.
Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, and had it not been for the all-rugged cross,
yes.
Had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul.